Dr. McDermott, how do you approach this issue of first-line therapy, and particularly which TKI?
Well, our story is similar to Walt's. We had used mostly sunitinib early on. Over the last year or so, we've used more pazopanib for two reasons. One, we have a trial looking at ASL MRI, whether it can predict for response to these agents. So there's a sort of a scientific bias there, but also a general sense that it's a little bit easier to manage a patient on pazopanib in that the dose is consistent and the side effects are more consistent over the interval between which you see the patients. Whereas with sunitinib, their side effects are increased during certain cycles, and that becomes a little bit unpleasant for a patient. It's also a little bit more challenging for them to manage their side effects with sometimes titrating their side effect medicines, you know, at different points during their cycle. But essentially, they're pretty equivalent drugs, so it's sort of a dealer's choice question. I think the one thing I wanted to follow up on that Tom said is if there's a person we're particularly concerned about running into problems with toxicity, either because of comorbidities or lack of motivation, we often start at a lower dose and titrate up. That's a strategy that's been employed fairly successful in the adjuvant trials where they had a lot of trouble keeping patients on full dose. But you can titrate up and find that individual person's MTD more safely without, if you start at full dose, in some patients they'll feel so miserable in the first month that they'll want to quit. And that's probably not in their interest. The other thing that Tom said that I wanted to amplify was going back up on a dose after a dose reduction is often possible 3-6 months later. If they're still on the drug, you can often get away with a dose later that you couldn't get away with initially with both agents.
So just to clarify, you mentioned this trial of ASL MRI to predict response to VEGF TKIs, and just wanted to clarify that ASL MRI is arterial spin labeling MRI. I'm curious about your clinical experience. It's one thing to see data, and it's quite another thing to actually talk to people who've seen a lot of patients. Specifically in terms of fatigue with these two agents, do you think you can detect a difference?
I don't think so. It may vary in the sunitinib cycle when the patients will feel fatigue, but the overall incidence, I'm not sure, is that much different.
So, Dr. Motzer, very interested in your answer to this question.
Well, I always exclusively gave sunitinib and treated lots of patients, hundreds of patients with sunitinib. I first became acquainted with pazopanib as a participant in the CAMPARS trial. And my impression was that while about 1 out of 10 patients develop elevated liver function tests and have to stop pazopanib, the other 9 out of 10 feel better over the course of their treatment with the drug with less fatigue and almost absence of hand-foot syndrome. So then when the CAMPARS data became available to me, it was somewhat difficult for me to make that transition because I was so used to giving sunitinib. But I believe in the data, and I think that you have to do what's best for the patient and make a change if it looks like the data for one drug favors another. So I switched over my practice, and now I give pazopanib. And in my own experience, it confirms the CAMPARS data, where I think that, in general, most patients experience a better quality of life with the pazopanib. The two side effects that my patients found particularly troublesome were fatigue and also particularly hand-foot syndrome, which interfered with a lot of their activity. And that seems to be much less common with the pazopanib.
So just to clarify, the COMPARES trial reported that pazopanib had similar efficacy to sunitinib as first-line treatment of metastatic renal cell cancer, but some of the side effects, such as fatigue and dermatologic reactions, seem to be less frequent with pazopanib than with sunitinib.